But then let's start from Psalm 17, verse 15. Just a brief sharing. Psalm 17, verse 15. Our sister just read it. It said, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be established when I awake in thy likeness." So we see that the goal is likeness. The goal is likeness. But the process of getting to that goal is righteousness. So it fits what we have been sharing about justification. We say this justification is the starting process. But we also say that justification or righteousness is the path to come to the fullness of life. "As for me, I will behold thy face." The Bible says, as we behold him, we are changed. We are metamorphosized. As we behold him, we are metamorphosized. So when we are born again, it's just a starting process. We have the robe of righteousness. But we must stay constant in that path. We have given several illustrations. People that will not stay constantly in that path, they will have a lesser provision from the Lord. Paul says, so that I don't become a castaway. But our destination is to come continually in that path of righteousness until we awake in his likeness. Awake in his likeness. Righteousness is a provision, and as we are knowing him, as we are being transformed, we keep on having that character worked into us. But we are in that path of righteousness. Let's open to Proverbs 12:28. He said, "The way of righteousness is life." Okay, so the way of righteousness is life. So David put it another way, said, "The path of thou leaded me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake." That's Psalm 23. So this righteousness, justification is what happens to us. The benefit we get from justification is what? Righteousness. Okay, when a person is not born again, he's justified. Say, we are justified by faith. We are redeemed by his blood. Okay, that's justification. We are justified. But the benefit we get from justification is righteousness. We are clothed with the white robe of righteousness. So it's not telling us that in that this righteous condition that God has brought us in, there's a way, it's an express way. It's a way God has ordained. The Bible call it the narrow way. For those that are due to make it on this other side to get to the throne, But in the millennium, he said, is the highway of holiness. So, but all I'm talking about is there's a path, there's a way of righteousness. And he said this way is a way of life. He said, in the pathway thereof, there is no death. There is no death. That's why we say when God saves a man, he brings a man back to the garden. He brings a man back to the garden. And that entrance into that environment is life. As the individual will be obedient to God and he keep on partaking of God's word, God's provision, he will be knowing transformation, transformation, transformation until the whole of death is destroyed. It's like coming to the end of our faith, the redemption of our body. That means God delivers us from this body of death, this human body, deliver us from the body of death so that we fully are clothed with immortality. We are clothed with immortality. So if this body is dissolved, we have a house eternal in the heavens, a house, a body not made with hands. So, and the pathway thereof, there is no death. So in our walk with God, that death is actually huge. The other day, God was giving me understanding of death. The first thing you see in death is nakedness. He said, when they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil, they were naked. Naked. Then you see sorrow. You see pain. You see tongues and thistles. All those are all expression of death. The end result of death is the death state, the grave. But he said in this pathway, so when God looks at the believers that have gone through the ages, he doesn't see them as dead. He said they are asleep. They are asleep because they have been delivered from the hole of death. They have been born again. They have been saved. So he said the way of righteousness is life. And the pathway thereof, the pathway. So every of our walk, every of your goings is what is life, life. So there's provision. So in this pathway, you can look at it, picture it as it starts from a point and it ends in another point. The point where it starts is a point of being born again, of being justified. The point where it ends is a point that we just read, where we awake in likeness. There's two things. It said, let us form man in our image, in our likeness. We're talking about likeness now. Then the Bible says, in the image of God created in him, male and female created in them. So God created them in his image, but there was no likeness. Likeness means you have the attribute. Image is like for semblance, but the likeness is for character, the attributes of God. That's what we're saying, the attributes of God. What are the attributes of God? Power, wisdom, justice, and love. Those are the attributes, the four attributes of God, which you can see in Isaiah chapter 11, the wisdom of God, the power of God, counsel and might, the justice of God. It will not descend by the descending of men's eyes. So we see those four attributes as the character of God. So as we walk in this path of righteousness, gradually walk and walk and walk, God starts in walking those four basic dimensions of his character into our life, of his wisdom, of his power, of his love, and of his justice. He start walking into us. By what? By his Holy Spirit. So in your Christian life, people may not understand it. In Abraham, they couldn't understand him. They may not understand it, but there is a goal. You should know it. We should be consciously aware. Every individual, you should be conscious that you are born again for a purpose. He said, the seed of Abraham shall walk, shall be a vehicle to bless humanity. There is a goal why God gave you his seed, why the incorruptible seed was in walk into you. You are born again, not of the corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God. So there's a purpose why you are born again. There's a purpose why you are saved. There's a goal in mind. God is passing you through this path of righteousness to bring you to his likeness in all his attributes, not in the physical plane of human plane, not in the angelic plane, but in the divine plane. There's a goal. And he's telling us that in this pathway, there is no death. So, but if we look around, you see some pockets of death. What do? We cry out unto God and say, Lord, intervene, intervene. And the provision to deal with death has also been given to us. So the Bible put it in another way. It said it predestinated. If you check the word predestinated, it doesn't mean God is going to select some people and get some people again. Predestination means a pathway to a goal, a pathway to something in view. There's a pathway. So the path of righteousness, I'm staying a long time on this path. The path of righteousness is a path God has made available for you and me to bring us to a goal. And in this path of righteousness, all the provision necessary to bring you to this goal has been given. It's not for you to accept it and appropriate it. Hallelujah. It's not for you to accept it and appropriate it, but all the provision to bring you to the fullness of life has been made available in this path of righteousness. He said, thou led me through the path of righteousness for your name's sake. It's not because of you. God has a purpose. There's a giant project God is actualizing. If you look through the Bible, no, it's not for your sake, but for his name's sake. There's a project. God is and all the provision from the beginning to the end has been made available. Another word God used, bringing his character into being, he said, I am the Alpha, I am the Omega. There's a provision God has made available. He said, in this way of righteousness, it's life, every process of it, every dimension of it is life. And in this pathway, there is no death. There is no death. That means if there is no death, that means there is no element of sin. If there's no death, then there's no element of the fall, because the wages of sin is death. So there is a pathway God has made available for us. Let's go to, it's very good. Everybody knows this foundation. Very good. Once you have a firm understanding of these things, you can run the race fast. 1 Corinthians chapter 1:30. So this is the pathway in another form. And of him are ye in Christ Jesus. So he's saying that you and me, any person born again, are in Christ Jesus. And there's a process of made, not create, who of God is made unto us wisdom. So that God is working something definite in you, in me. Okay? It is available. Of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So we have been looking at this in the type of Abraham. Okay, we said sanctification is another word you could use for sanctification. There is vitalized justification, or you could use the word perfect. unto a perfect man, unto a perfect man. So we see, we'll just briefly look at some qualities. What do I need right now? What do I need to enter into this estate of sanctification, this estate of perfection? The Greek word used for perfect is telios, to come into this estate. We'll just look briefly at that. So wisdom, righteousness. So this is a path unto the redemption of the body, to come to that estate of being redeemed from this body of death. Amen. Redeemed from this body of death. So we said in Abraham, Genesis chapter 1, verse 20, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, we see in Abraham, we see that Abraham, then it was called Abraham. Abraham is blessed. Then Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, we see that. Get the out of it. Then we see in Genesis chapter 15, he was justified. Genesis chapter 6, 15, verse 6, he was justified. And he said, God granted unto him blessing. He said, those that are justified are blessed. And Abraham believed God, believed in the Lord, and it was counted to him for righteousness. So we are saying these are a path that God has led Abraham, and it's a type. We are the seed of Abraham. Not everything that speaks of Abraham speaks of the type, but majorly Abraham was a type. Sarah was a type. Hagar was a type. Keturah, the wife that he married after Sarah died, was a type. We say these are types and shadows. And we say in the prophetic word, it opens to us the truths of the gospel. So in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, we say this one, it said, come thou, walk thou before me and be thou perfect. So by looking at Genesis chapter 17, Genesis chapter 18, Genesis chapter 19, you can garner a lot of truths. And as you look at this truth and look at this truth, these are elements that you need to come to this estate. For me to come fully to this estate of perfection. And we say that perfection is adulthood. You are an adult. In the spirit, you are an adult. You are mature. You are mature. You know the plans of God. You know the purpose of God. Beyond the 24 elders, you are a living creature having six wings. You know the mind of God. You can see with eyes in front of you, can see with eyes behind you. You know the song of Moses. Come, walking thou before me and be thou perfect. One evidence we see is that to this thing to be actualized, one need to experience Christ as what? The El Shaddai. El Shaddai. I am the Almighty. That's El Shaddai. That's Shaddai. Shaddai. Then the God, there's El. I am the El Shaddai. Okay? So God says he can come to this estate. One of the things you see in chapter 17, chapter 18, chapter 19 is that Abraham had series of revelations, series of appearing. Yeah, he said, God appeared, the Lord, Jehovah, appeared unto Abraham, or Abraham, and said unto him, I am the Almighty. So this was an appearing. That means in these blocks, there will be a lot of revelation. God appearing to you. God unveiling himself to you. He will appear to you in the church, okay? But I'm talking about personal interventions of God. Appear. God appeared to him. If you read further, there's another place where it says God appeared unto Abraham in the plain of Mamre. He said he appeared unto Abraham in the plains of Mamre. That was when he told him that it's time to sacrifice Isaac. So he got to that estate. God had to fulfill something further. So one of the things, one, you can put that down, is that there's a series of unveiling. There's a series of appearing. There's a series of revelation of God himself to you. We can see that before he went to prophesy that God should execute his judgment against Sodom and Gomorrah and intervening that God's people would be released, the Lord class, you will see him having a revelation. God unveil unto him that he's going to judge Sodom. He's going to judge Gomorrah. And he started intervening. So it talks about another level of appearing, but all in the same block of God bringing his people to that estate of perfection. God appeared unto Abraham on the plain of Mamre. So we just put that down, and let's go to the next one. Okay, walk thou before me and be thou perfect. Okay, before I just list those things, those critical things, let's look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, he said, well, he was talking to the people of the Jews scattered everywhere, the writer of the Hebrew. He said, when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which are the first principles of the oracles of Christ, and has become as one that needed milk. Okay. So these are Christians. We said, walk thou before me and be thou perfect. It talks about a realm of maturity and not of strong meat. Verse 13. For everyone that drinketh milk. So there's nothing wrong with drinking milk. Drinking milk is important. You will notice further when we start reading Genesis that milk is important. That everyone that drinketh milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. So he has a word of righteousness, but he's not skilled. So God wants to bring us to skill, to bring us to skill. But for he is a babe. Verse 14. For he is a babe. But strong milk belongeth to them that are full age. Okay, the word full age there is the same word as telos, is the same word as perfect, to bring you to a perfect man. So there's a growth. There's a growth. The person is engaged with God. As he's engaged, there's a growth. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use, so by reason of use, have their senses exercise to discern between good and evil. Okay. We can discern between good and evil, but it's an estate of maturity. It's an estate of growth. God wants us to come to the full age. God wants us to be perfect. But the qualities of getting there is one, walk thou before me. God unveiled himself. Genesis chapter 1. God unveiled himself. What as Genesis chapter 1 as a full-breasted one. The full-breasted one. So all these qualities that we see in Genesis chapter 1 It is God walking. As we walk before him, he is the Genesis chapter. It's not Genesis chapter 1, I'm sorry. It's Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. In Revelation chapter 1, we actually go to the unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll start from verse 10. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the one that started it, the one that will end it, the beginning and the end. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice. Can you turn and see a voice? It means the voice is a person. And I turned to see the voice. You don't see a voice, you hear a voice. But I turned to see the voice because the voice is a person. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word is a person, the voice is a person. That spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, like one unto the Son of Man. This picture, this illustration is what Abraham saw. He said, I am the Almighty God. Here, the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed as what? As a fully breasted one. As fully is breasted. So the belt of truth that we see in Ephesus, putting on the whole armor of God, the breast of the belt of truth that's around the thigh is now moved to the breast. The breast. That's why we say God is both male and female. So it moved to the breast. And in the midst of the seven candlestick, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with the garment down to the foot and gilt with paps with a golden girdle. That's what King James says. It means the belt is in his breast. The paps there means breast, breast. That's breast. So here you see the picture of the fully breasted one making out the provision in the covenant. Provision of the covenant is making it out. It's flowing out from him. Then he said, and his hair was like wool. That's the Ancient of Days. In his hair, and his hair was like white as wool, white as snow. And his eyes were like the flame of fire. And his feet was like fine brass. And as if it burned in a furnace, and his voice as a sound of many waters. So we see the picture, but we do not just see Christ. We see Christ in the midst of his church. When he turned, he didn't just see Christ. He saw the golden candlesticks and one standing in the midst. Yeah, he didn't say the Son of God. He said the Son of Man. That means we see it is Christ, the fully breasted one, coming as the messenger of the new covenant to fulfill his purpose. So in Genesis, he said, walk thou before me and be thou perfect. Walk thou before me and be thou perfect. I will just read and try and highlight one or two things. Things, qualities you need, qualities that I need to come to that state of maturity. You are mature. You are partaking of the milk. But you are moving from the milk to something greater, something. And as you partake of it, there is a change. There is something happening. There is something definitely happening in your life. So we'll try and just read and highlight some very, 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 very important thing. I'll start from Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. And when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. Come to this estate of perfection. Verse 2, and I will make my covenant between me and thee and I will multiply thee exceedingly. So God reinforced the covenant that he gave to him in Genesis chapter 12 and Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 12, we say is wisdom. Genesis chapter 15, we say it is justification, being saved. We are saying, it's now saying, come up hither. Come to this estate of life. Come, become perfect. Be mature. And there are some things that must go. And there are some things that I want you to come into. Amen? 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 So that's one. He revealed, he reinforced the vision. And Abraham fell, verse 3, fell upon his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. God give you this understanding of this covenant. Remember, we said the covenant is a mother. We said Sarah is the covenant. Okay? We said Sarah is the covenant, and that covenant is a mother. He said the mother of us all. So we are saying that God reinforced this covenant, this understanding of bringing not you, not just you, but a body of people to the fullness of life. And thou shalt be a father of many nations. Verse 5. Neither shall thy name anymore be called Abraham. Abraham, but thy name shall be called Abraham. So coming to this estate, God transformed your character. It's a change of name. A change of name. Not just being a father, but a father of many nations. For a father of many nations have I made thee. Have I made thee? Okay. So we see two things. We see two things. God, three things. We see God reveal himself as the El Shaddai. Number two, we see God reinforce the promise. He have a more concrete understanding of the promise. You know, number three, God says he will change his character. That means he will become Abraham. That means he will be, there's something that will be bettered out of him. He will be fruitful. In this, when you read further, you see it is in this environment that Abraham gave birth to Isaac. It is in this environment that he break forth into fruitfulness. It is in this environment that he broke forth into in the New Testament light. It is in this environment that all this gentleness, meekness, loving kindness, all these attributes is manifest in his life. And it takes on more and more and more and more of the divine nature, the divine character, the divine life. Amen? Okay. Much to be said, but we are Bible students. We know what I'm talking about. Verse 6, and I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make I'll make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Verse 7, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, for to be a God unto thee and thy and to thy seed after thee. Verse 8, and I will give unto thee and thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant thereof, thou and thy seed after thee in their generation. Then he gave us the definition. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you, and thy seed after thee, everyone, every man child among you shall be circumcised. So we see that in the first two, justification, just a person is born again, Then people will be complaining. They will say, this person is doing this, is doing that, because it's not circumcised. He said, if you have to come to this level of maturity, if you have to come to this level of growth, there must be circumcision. He said, thou shalt be, and I say, among you shall be circumcised, for ye shall be circumcised, the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. So the covenant of circumcision. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generation. He that is born in the house and brought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house and he that is brought with thy money must need be circumcised. So there's no excuse. You can't excuse this. You are the person old, the person is young, the stranger, the slave must be circumcised. My covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man, child, whose flesh of the foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall what? Be cut off. Many Christians cannot enter the greater matters of God's will and God's purpose if you are not circumcised. Some truth, you cannot get into some truth except you experience circumcision. There is some scriptural verse that can never be open to us if we are not circumcised. He said, those people that are not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. Because what? They have broken my covenant. And the Lord said unto Abraham, as for Isaac, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarah, but Sarah shall her name be called. And I will bless her and give thee a child also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings and people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in her heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old here bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, so he said, he was still advocating that Ishmael shall live. What is Ishmael? Ishmael is bondage. Ishmael is bondage. There are some things people, Christians, are just carrying around. You can examine yourself, carrying around. Say, God, let this thing be. Let this thing be. God says, no. No, Ishmael is not the goal. Ishmael is patterned after the flesh. Remember, we said Sarah is our mother. Ishmael is represent bondage. Hagar represent bondage. Is pattern after the flesh. That means God says, when I start bringing you into this realm of perfection, flesh must be judged. Every bondage conditions must be judged. Everything that causes, that represent, remember Hagar was Egyptian. Anything that represented bondage, slavery to the flesh. God must judge the flesh. He must judge flesh. It's not going to allow it to stay. He must judge flesh. So we see one, the mighty God, the El Shaddai. We see the promises revealed again. We see God who says he will change Abraham to Abraham. He will change Sarai to Sarah. He will give us a covenant of circumcision. Then he now gave Abraham a further light. He said, no, this is Sarah's Ishmael. It's not the goal. There will be Isaac. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, verse 19, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after thee. God is bringing his people to laughter. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. That's Ishmael is in bondage. He said, the Jerusalem that is now is, the Jerusalem that is in bondage. So don't look at other Christians. Oh, that Christian can do this. You are not in the same class. You are not in the same class. The class of Abraham, there is two seed. So you are not in the same class. You are not in bondage. God says there's something higher, something glorious, something more beautiful, something more excellent. Let me stop making comments. Let me just read further. I have heard thee, behold, I will bless him, and I will make him fruitful, and I will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall beget, and I will make him a great nation. And my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And he left off speaking with him, and God went up from Abraham. And Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of the foreskin in the same day. This guy didn't delay. There was no delay. And God had, as God had said unto him, and Abraham was 90 years old and nine, and when he was circumcised in the flesh of the foreskin, and Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of the foreskin. In the same day was Abraham circumcised, and Ishmael, his son, and all the men of his house born in the house, bought with money of the stranger, were circumcised. Okay, we'll stop there. There's other aspects of this experience. We'll see that further as we read further. But let me just emphasize on circumcision, then we can pray. Philippians chapter 3. Okay, let's start from, because we don't have much time. Let's start from verse 3. So what are the things we see in circumcision? Circumcision. What does circumcision mean? What does circumcision mean? We said, verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, it is not grievous, but for you, it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evildoers. Beware of concision. For we are the circumcision. There's the qualities you see in circumcision. What does it mean? Paul says, yeah, we are the circumcision. What does that mean? Which worship God in the spirit. So it's a departure from living a life of the flesh, but a life of the spirit. Not just living a life of the spirit, but in that spirit, you are worshiping God. You are worshiping God. He said, in this mountain, we will no longer go to this mountain to worship God, but we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. He said, we are those that worship God, which worship God in the spirit. We rejoice in Jesus Christ, and we have no confidence in the flesh. So it is a circumcision of God delivering our heart from the flesh. Verse 4 says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he had a heart whereof he might trust in the flesh, then he now give us what does the flesh mean? Oh, my profession, my job, my height. I look beautiful. I look excellent. I have a degree. I have this the circumcised on the eighth day, the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, of Hebrew, touching the law, a Pharisee, zeal persecuting the church. So he had his resume. He has say all these things that come to me, it is dung. It is done. So it is having no confidence in the flesh, total submission to God, so total yieldedness to God. So that's the simple understanding of circumcision. It is God coming to deliver you, deliver me from the whole of the flesh. It's a covenant. It's a covenant. We'll look at Jeremiah. Okay, so let's look at the Old Testament. What does that mean? They were doing it in the physical, but God gave us an insight that is a covenant, which we read in Genesis chapter 17 just now. It's a covenant of circumcision. God coming to circumcise the foreskin of your heart. Genesis chapter 17, verse 10. So in that they say, circumcise the flesh of the foreskin. There was a circumcision of the foreskin. It's a token. But it was something greater. So when you look at Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 16,
Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 16. Although they were Jewish, they were doing it in the physical, but it's something greater. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 16, it says, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart. Our heart must be captured. One of the our love. How many can you just sit down and be watching a movie, then you know something's wrong with your heart. The movie is of no benefit. It's of no benefit. The movie can represent Ishmael or can represent Haggai prophetically. He said, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be not stiff-necked. Be not stiff-necked. Very direct. Because there's something greater. He said, walk thou before me and be thou perfect. There's something you have seen. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. The Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart and the heart of thy seed. What is the goal of circumcision? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest what? Live. Because anyone that is not circumcised, what will be what? Cut off. So we have to circumcise our heart. Our heart must be circumcised. There must be is there any pull in your heart towards the world? Is there any pull of your heart towards the things that is ephemeral, the things that is that is not permanent, the things that is weak, the things that does not have permanency, that does not flow from the throne of God? Say, circumcise your heart. Circumcise your heart. Present your heart before God, and he will do it. He will circumcise the heart and take away the foreskin. So what? So that to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, there will be a passion, there will be a hunger, because you need your heart to be circumcised. So if you look at the process, one of the last process in the goal to come into the perfection is being a watcher. Being a prayer warrior. It's still there. He said, Lord, if there's 45 more, if there's 5 people saved, if there's, it labored, it worked, but because his heart was already captured. But the beginning process is the vision. The vision must be clear. He revealed himself as the El Shaddai and said, you will know a transformation. Your name shall not bear brand. So the process was said. So it's a gradual process. Say, the first thing he said, I have a covenant with you. The covenant will be the covenant of circumcision. It will be in the foreskin of your flesh. Then he now open it up in Deuteronomy that say it is a circumcision of your heart. Our heart must be captured. Our fidelity. What do you love? If you can spend hours, days without even opening the Bible. They say, God, circumcise my heart, capture my heart, apprehend my heart. Let the foreskin of my heart be, let these hindrances be removed, that I will love you. There will be passion for your throne, passion for your work. Jeremiah 4:4 says, circumcise yourself to the Lord. So the circumcision is not to anybody. It's not to people. It's to the Lord. Say, God, I want all of you. Capture my heart. Capture my soul. Thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy might. I want to love you. I want to cherish you. I want to yearn after you. God, capture my heart. Circumcise, therefore. Circumcise yourself to the Lord and take away the foreskin of your heart. Ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. So God wanted a heart captured, a heart apprehended. a heart totally given to him, totally apprehended, totally given. So let's look at one more scripture, then I think we should start praying. Joshua. To have a better understanding, I'll just read from verse 1. It was just before they entered into the promised land. And it came to pass when all the king of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan eastward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord has dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until it was passed over, that their heart melted. Neither was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. That's what is happening in the spirit. Once we are born again, Satan is scared. May God open our eyes so that we know Satan is actually scared. Scared. There's victory has been secured for us in Christ Jesus. Anyhow, verse 2. At that time, the Lord said unto Joshua, make thee sharp knives. Okay. And circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. So when they left Israel, when they left Egypt, they were not circumcised. So there were many people in the wilderness that didn't know circumcision. So he said, before they enter into the promised land, there must be circumcision. That's why he said, circumcise again the children. Okay, but the bottom line is here that sharp knives. Sharp knives is needed. Not just knife, but sharp knives. Again, the circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives. Joshua there, as we see in Hebrews, is Jesus. Is Jesus. Joshua means Jesus. It means Savior. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 3, he called him Joshua. But it was Jesus. So he's saying Joshua, yes, a type of Jesus. The one that has a sharp knife is Jesus. Jesus have the sharp knives. He is the one that will do the circumcision. He's the one that will circumcise your heart. He's the one that circumcised my heart. He's the one that will do the circumcision. Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel in the hill, at the hill of their first king. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. Why is there circumcision needed? All the children that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war died in the wilderness, by the way, after they came out of Egypt. Now, all the people that came out were circumcised. As they left Egypt, they were circumcised. But all the people that were born in the wilderness, by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, then they had not circumcised. So in simple terms, prophetically, in the wilderness, before one gets into the promised land, there must be circumcision. There must be circumcision. Verse 6, for the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were of men of war that came out of Egypt were consumed because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord swear that he would not shew them the land, which the Lord swear unto the fathers that he would give us, a land that flow with milk and honey. And the children whom he rise up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass when he had done circumcising all the people that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. So as God does the circumcision, as you submit yourself, you have to submit yourself, I have to submit myself, as we submit ourselves, as Christ do the circumcision by his sharp knives. The sharp knife is the word of God. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces the bone and the marrow, the soul and the spirit. It is the word of God. As you submit yourself to the word of God, as it circumcised your heart, he said you should stay in that same place until you are whole, until they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt. So the first king was a reproach. Ishmael was a reproach. Gilgal was a reproach. These bondages, these things were reproaches. But as we submit ourselves to God, there will be a circumcision of our heart. The things that have hindered us from entering into the deeper things of God's word, the deeper revelation, the deeper counsel, as we submit, stay under the working of the sharp knives. Say, simple prayer, Jesus, come with your sharp knife. Bring your revealed word. Bring your two-edged word. This word, the word of the Spirit, this word of the Spirit is the word of God. Circumcise my heart. Let all things that have pulled me away, that have distracted me, let me know deliverance. Let it be a circumcision. He said, we are the circumcision that worship God in the Spirit. So examine yourself. Have I been worshiping God in the flesh? Have I been worshiping God according to men's ideas, men's decisions? Oh, circumcise my heart. Let me rejoice in the Lord. Am I always gloomy, sad? He said, we are the circumcision. We worship God in the Spirit, which have no confidence in the flesh, which rejoice in the Lord Jesus. Rejoice in Christ Jesus. So God, circumcise my heart. Let me know this experience of Gilgal. Let the stones be rolled away. Let the reproaches of Egypt, any bondage condition, let it be rolled away from my life. This day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal to this day. It is called Gilgal. So this provision is still available for the church. This, and it said, and the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover. You keep the Passover as you wait in that camp to get home, to be completely healed. You stay and partake of the Passover on the 14th day of the month, even at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover. So there was a transition from manna to the corn. They were not partaking. They were not fully in Jericho yet, but they were already now partaking of that provision in the covenant, that life, that immortality, that incorruptibility. They were eating of the corn, the old corn of the land. So manna has ceased. There was a transition. Say, God, let the first king of my heart, let there be a circumcision. Let me know deliverance. I want to stand in the place of perfection. I want to live for your glory. Mature, not driven by any wind of doctrine, knowing the excellency of the fully breasted one. Lord, deal with this condition in my heart. What is that thing in my heart that drives me to bad social media, that drives me to Twitter, that drives me to YouTube, that drives me to things that are wicked and dark? Lord, circumcise the first thing of my heart. Deliver me. Let the sharp knives, let me experience the sharp knives in my heart. Let these reproaches of Egypt, this thing that leads me to bondage, this thing that leads to any expression of fornication, idolatry, wickedness, let it be cut off from my heart. So it's a passionate plea to the greater Joshua. Do this in my life. And as they stood there, and we have, after the circumcision, they partook of the Passover. They partook of the blood. They partook of the lamb that was slain. They partook of the bread, the meal without leaven. They partook of the bitter herbs. The bitter herbs, Passover, they partook of it in the 14th day. And it is in that they ate of the old corn. God was not giving them revelation of things that are greater. It was not just the old manna they were eating. There was something coming. They were not partaking of Jericho, of the place where there's wine, where there's milk, where there's honey. that treasures of that land. God was not giving them those treasures. They ate of the old corn of the land in the mold after Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the same day. So the body here that we can come to this estate is ours. It was made unto us wisdom. It was made unto us righteousness. It was made unto us sanctification. It was made unto us redemption. We can partake of it. It's a provision in the covenant. But there must be hurdles. But as we submit ourselves, nobody can bring you and say, let Mr. A, Mr. B, Joshua, circumcise this person. The person has to be made himself available. But to get into the greater matters of God's kingdom, there must be circumcision. Hearts must be delivered. There must be love. There must be a passion for the Lord. He said, draw me after you that we may run together. There must be a yearning. There must be, like the songs of Solomon, there must be a passion for God. There must be, our heart must be captured. Our heart must be captivated. Say, Lord, circumcise. Hey, what is that is pushing me to do this wickedness? Deliver my heart. Send the sharp knife. Send your word. Let it be sharp. Let my heart be circumcised. Roll away this reproach of Egypt. Let it be rolled away. Let me know deliverance. Let me know stability in your kingdom. Do it. Exercise it. Fulfill this work in me. So it's a passionate place. Submit yourself, and you don't just run away. As God's word is coming, stay there until you are whole. He said they stood in that same place until they are whole. Then you see them partaking of the Passover, enjoying the delicacies of the promise. They have not crossed yet, but the revelation, the truth, the benefit, the excellency of that age, the age to come, the immortality, the glory, God will not start feeding them, instructing them, guiding them, leading them. Same thing in this understanding that things that you're struggling to understand the scripture because there's some hindrances. The hindrances now is not Satan. It's not Satan. These guys are out of Satan. They are out of Egypt. They are out of Egypt. They are walking. They are moving with God. But the hindrance is themselves. Walk thou before me and be thou perfect. We must walk before him. Say, God, have your way. Let the brilliancy of your face. He said, his face was like the sun shining in his brightness. Revelation chapter 1. Was shining, glowing. His eyes were like a flame of fire. Like these qualities, I think God might deal with these conditions in our life. All these failings, I might take it away. All hindrances, the reproach of Egypt, roll away, that we might all experience giver. May the Lord bless us. May the Lord grant us great grace. May the Lord grant us great insight. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.